Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you who share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God.
Thank you, Deborah. Now I'm going to invite John as he comes up. He's going to explain the text for us today, and I'm going to pray for him before he begins. Let's pray. God, I thank you for John. Thank you for your work that you've been doing through him and Anne here in Beeston Free. I pray that you speak through John as he explains your word to us today. I pray for clarity. I pray for us as listeners that we would have ears to listen to your word. I pray that we'll be challenged and encouraged today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Robin. It's been great to have some of the students involved tonight. And even if things have gone slightly not to plan, it's been great to be in partnership together. And it's been wonderful to gather together tonight and to hear about so many different things that are happening around the world. To commission our international students as they go out, to welcome back the Baileys from their assignments in Africa, to pray for the skippers in Spain, to join with the congregation in the Rylands sent out from us, part of us, working hard for the gospel elsewhere. And it's amazing that just in this room, in the space of 45 minutes, we've engaged with work that's going on right around the world. To engage with the gospel spreading to the nations. And there may be lots that we don't know about, and we may be far from it. And there might be people that we've never met before. But it's work that we can be partners in. We can participate in it. In sending, in welcoming, in praying. We can really stay connected. And the reason why is because the gospel makes us partners for life. The gospel unites us together. And the passage that I've chosen tonight is Philippians chapter 1. It seemed fitting in the context of what we were doing and the people who would be in the service. Because it's a passage all about gospel partnership. Paul is writing to a church that he planted in Philippi. A church in Greece. And he was separated from that church because of persecution. The church itself was continuing to be persecuted. And Paul himself, at the time of writing, was in prison. And they were separated by over 800 miles. They could not have felt further from each other. But the connection between them could not be more alive. It is true gospel partnership. And so as we seek to be a church that partners with the globe, we seek to be a church that sends people to other parts of the world. This is a passage that can encourage us tonight. And there are just three things that I want to share from it. Three things that encourage me and I hope can encourage us all. Three things about gospel partnership. And the first is this. Gospel partnership produces thanksgiving. As we read verse 3, you just sense Paul's joy, don't you? He's overflowing with thanksgiving and joy. It's all encompassing. He prays every time. In all his prayers, he remembers them. He's always got the Philippians on his heart as he prays for all of them. As Paul thinks of the church in Philippi, the thanks just wells up inside him and he can't help but express it. Even though he's in prison, he can't keep in the joy. Why? Verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. It is because of partnership in the gospel that Paul praises God. Now, when we think of partnership, we often think of the partnership in the sense of the world, like minds coming together for a common goal. People who, because they have the same beliefs, get together to achieve a goal. They'll share the burdens, they'll deal with the problems together, and then reap in the benefits and the blessings together. But the partnership being spoken about here could not be more different. It's not an opt-in partnership. It's not just like minds getting together, similar aims, working together for the goal. This is a partnership that Paul and the Philippians have been placed in. Like it or not, they're in this partnership because of the gospel. Since the first day that Paul preached to them in Philippi, since the day that they believed and the first converts were won, the gospel has bound them together in union. They have the same God, the same Saviour, the same gospel. And flowing out of that, they have the same call to live for God, to serve Him, and to take that message out to the world around them. And they may be suffering for it. They may be separated by hundreds of miles. But the truth that the gospel has bound them will not stop. Their union in this great work cannot be prevented by any of their circumstances. And so as we send students tonight, as we remember saying goodbye to Craig and the family last week, as we give workers for the harvest field from this church, although we say goodbye, we have a partnership that endures in the gospel. Whether we're in Nottingham, whether we're in Kuala Lumpur, whether we're in Wollongong or the ends of the earth, we have a partnership that is greater than distance, greater than suffering and greater than separation. We continue together in the greatest work, the work of the worldwide kingdom of Christ. Wherever we are, we're partners for life. But there's another reason for thankfulness in these verses. And that's in verse 6. There is hope for the future. Because of the partnership that Paul sees, he is confident of this thing. That he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The partnership that Paul sees is evidence that God has begun a good work that he will see through until it is completed on the day of Christ. This is something we're seeing in Beeston at the moment. Believe it or not, the work is nearly done. It has been carried on to completion and the trams are nearly running. It's been a hard job, but it is nearly finished. But that's not always the case. And this is a picture of a quite impressive hotel in North Korea. It's very impressive on the outside. But if you were to go inside, there would be nothing. It's just a structure with glass on the outside. It was begun in 1987, and the work stopped, and it hasn't started again. It's a shell, an unfinished project. But that's not the case in the Christian life. Our hope from these verses is that what God starts, he finishes. Verse 6, he will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. There's nothing left to chance in any of our lives. There's nothing left to us in any of our lives. It is God's work, first to last. Romans 8 says this, for those he predestined, he also called. For those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. God finishes the job. There are no North Korean hotels in the Christian life. There's nothing but gives this confidence, but the power of God. People are safe in his hands. And so for those who go, who leave today, you can leave in confidence. Because your future rests not in your hands, not in the hands of anyone else, but in God's hands. His faithful, his sovereign, his loving hands. Not in Beeston Free. Not in Compass. Not in any individual who's been involved in your life. It rests in God. And those of us who send, who say goodbye, we send with faith. Because God will finish the job. He'll provide. He'll look after. He'll take care. He will complete the work that he has begun. And so for all of us, whoever we are and wherever we find ourselves, no matter how impossible the week ahead seems or how badly we feel like we're doing in the Christian life, we have this encouragement that of those who have placed our trust in Christ, who have believed the gospel, God will see to it that the work is completed. The good work started will be the good work finished. And for that reason, we have every reason to be thankful. Gospel partnership produces thanksgiving. But second, gospel partnership produces love. In Britain, we're not very good at showing our emotions. We're shy, often quiet, and not really given to outward expressions of emotion. When things are hard, we like to keep a stiff upper lip. And we don't like to show that things are getting to us. But with Paul here, his heart is on display for the world to see. Just look at verse 7 and 8 again. It's deeply emotional. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Paul says, I have you in my heart. I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. This is not mushy love. It's not cringy. It's not over the top. This is a deeply pastoral heart. Paul has a great love for the church that he has planted. And why? Verse 7 answers the question. Because all of you share in God's grace with me. As partners in the gospel, both Paul and the Philippians have received the grace of God and they share in it. And it is this grace that forms the foundation of their partnership and the foundation of their love for one another. The beauty of the gospel is that it brings us not only to God in reconciliation, it doesn't just remove our sin and our guilt and our shame through Jesus' death. It also, as it does that, brings us together. It unites us. It puts us on a level, side to side, welcome in the presence of God. And this is why the church is made up of rich and poor. It's why it's made up of educated and uneducated people. It's why it's a church that stretches across time and across nations. Because it is a church united by grace, a people put on the same level, welcomed together, side by side, in the presence of God. People who are equally fallen, who are equally sinful, equally incapable of saving themselves, but amazingly, equally loved and showered with the grace that comes through Christ. So there's nothing like this bond. There is nothing in this life that can bind people closer together with a deeper love than the sharing in God's grace. And as Paul says in verse 7, it is right to feel this way for one another as Christians. And so as we say goodbye for the gospel, as we send people off, as we keep on planting and providing, the sadness and the pain is good and right because we're bound together. We're united. We're meant to be together. We're not meant to be separated. And our future is together in the presence of God. And so if you're going, if you're leaving and you feel the pain, you feel the sadness, rejoice. Because that's a sign of your partnership. It's a sign of the truth of the gospel. But it's okay to go. It's okay to leave. You don't need to hold on to relationships here. Because the partnership that you've had here is the partnership you can have back home with people who just as much share in the grace of God as us here. Brothers and sisters who have equally been loved, equally stand in his presence, forgiven. And whether or not our paths cross again, we know that we will meet again. And so we can say goodbye for the gospel. But perhaps for us here, in a church like Beeston Free, that is very transient, a church that feels like we're saying goodbye all the time, feels like we're losing people, we're sacrificing, and we maybe miss a lot of people. Maybe you're someone here who's had to say goodbye so many times to so many close friends. Or perhaps you're weary of saying goodbye, weary of sending out, mission fatigue. Or perhaps you've just given up on forming those kind of relationships because they always get broken. Well, again, the pain is right because we're bound together in the grace of the gospel. But we can send with peace because the grace that we have been given binds us for life. We really are partners for life. And although the separation comes, although we send out, the end is together. We will be reunited. But now is the time to send. Now is the time of the Great Commission. It's not finished. And so we need to recognise that we still have a role in global partnership for the gospel. And as God gives us grace, we need to keep on giving, keep on releasing, keep on pouring our hearts out into people's lives, even if it means they leave. Because it's the same cause around the world. And as we send, may we keep on pursuing these relationships right here at Beeston Free, looking outwards, not looking inwards, as grace teaches us, giving in gospel love before we look to receive. Gospel partnership produces love. But third, gospel partnership produces prayer. The partnership that Paul and the Philippians had that led to thanksgiving and led to love naturally overflows in prayer. People who are separated, who can do very little for each other, one thing they can do is pray. And let's read Paul's prayer again in verse 9 to 11. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Paul's aim is simple in this prayer, and he could have just gone straight to the end and asked for the glory and the praise of Christ Jesus. But he doesn't go straight there. He prays the process, stage by stage. What is required or what needs to happen for that to be achieved in the lives of these believers? It's a deeply intimate prayer. And we've not really got time to look at it in detail. You could preach a sermon on just the prayer. But four things to touch on to help us as we pray for one another, as we partner with so many people in the gospel. And the first is to pray that love may abound. That's what Paul says in verse 9. Now, the love in view here is not really specific. It's a love in general, a love towards God, a love that for God that overspills outwards into relationships with one another. Paul asks that that love would grow. And he asks that it would grow in two ways, in knowledge. This is to be a wise love, an understanding love, an informed love, rooted in truth. And it's to overflow in depth of insight as well. This is love that discerns, that thinks, that's perceptive and sensitive. And a love like that comes from one source. It is a love that is rooted in the Word of God. It flows from His wisdom and it reflects His heart as it comes from His Word. It is God's Word that makes us mature in love and makes us true in love. It is His Word that kindles the love in our hearts. And so we need to be people who are both of the Word but also of the heart, and the two come together. It's not that our understanding of the Bible is unemotional or that our emotions are controlling our understanding of the Bible. We need the two to come together as the Word drives our hearts. And wouldn't that be a wonderful prayer to pray for one another? That God's Word, far from being academic, far from being something that we recite, that it might be something that sets our hearts on fire in love for God and for one another. And so for those going back, make God's Word your foundation and let it drive your life. Because when your love abounds, verse 10, you may be able to discern what is best. That's the second thing. As love abounds, it helps us to know the way to go, the choices to make. It helps us discern what is best. God's Word speaks into every area of our lives, not just to know the right and say that we know the right, but to drive our lives, to make us desire the right and do the right. And this is wisdom and guidance that we all need. We need lovingly applied truth that works out in every area of our lives. Whether it's as we go back and decide on the church to go to, we need this discerning power as God's Word works out in love. Whether it's how we decide how to relate to our families, how we decide how to use our money, how we set our course of our life and choose on the priorities for our future. Maybe it will inform how we respond to somebody who has wronged us and harmed us, or how to react as a child comes home being bullied at school. We need love working out in knowledge, leading us to discern what is best in every area of our lives. So we pray for love to abound. We pray for discernment that comes through that. For the purpose of this, verse 10, that we may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. As love abounds, as it enables this discernment, it leads to a life of purity, a life of righteousness, a blameless life. The fruit of truth, the fruit of love, is Christ-likeness. And the image here, that the words here bring about, apparently in the original words, is the picture of sunlight cutting through and shining onto the ground. You see, the lives of righteousness, the source of that righteousness is in Christ. He is the radiant sun. And as His righteousness shines out, it shines out in our lives in beams of righteousness, beams of light. We are His sunbeams in this world. It sounds cheesy, but it's true. And it's a beautiful picture. And may we pray that as we depend on the source of righteousness, the source of the light, that God might pour out through our lives righteous living that brings praise and honour to Him and directs people to Him as it shines into the darkness. May we be those beams across Nottingham and across the world. Because as that happens, verse 11, all of this will happen to the praise and glory of God. The glory and praise of God. The goal of Paul's prayer here, the end of this love, the end of this discernment, the end of this righteousness, is not pointing towards anyone. It's not even pointing ultimately towards the people who are watching. It is pointing towards God. It is Godward. The purpose is to bring praise and glory to Him. And so as partners in the gospel, we share this calling on our lives. It's the same, to make known the glory of Christ across the nations. And we're partners in this. We don't know the future, and there are many things that are going to be difficult, and seeking to prevent that. Many of us may separate and pass our ways and go into different parts of the world. But this calling is the same for each one of us. We're called together to make known the worth, the majesty, the beauty of Christ, the source of our righteousness, the God of the gospel, so that the glory may go to him. This is our call. This is our one life aim. And so, as we stay, as we go, as we weep, as we rejoice, whether we're in a time of peace or a time of trial or suffering, however we find ourselves tonight, may our desire, may our prayer be that each of us may, in God's grace, make known the glory of God for the praise of God as partners in the gospel of God. We don't know what the future is for each one of our lives. And many things will happen and make us struggle in this calling. But our sure and certain hope is this. And it's a hope that we will share together one day, telling the stories, sharing the experiences, and giving the glory to God. Because our sure and certain hope is this, that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you have called us to be partners in the greatest work in the world. You've joined us in the gospel, you've united us in grace, and you've called us to glorify you. Father, thank you that the strength to do these things does not come from ourselves, but it comes from you. And that is why we pray. We pray for each one of us, that you might work in us these things, that we might continue to pray for your gospel to spread amongst the nations. Pray for those who leave, that they may stay fixed firmly in Christ, bringing honour to him. And we pray for us to send and stay, that as we go out this week, we might radiate the glory of Christ. We might shine out the beauty of him to a world that needs to see him. We ask this in his name and for his glory. Amen.